This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Did you watch last night? Sure you did, right? Biden, Ryan, the Vice President Joe Biden facing off in a televised debate against Congressman and VP candidate Paul Ryan, journalist Martha Raddatz from ABC trying to mediate. My heart went out to Martha there. Let's do the math.
You can cut tax rates by 20% and still preserve these important preferences for middle-class taxpayers.
Not mathematically possible.
It is mathematically possible. It's been done before. It's precisely what we're proposing.
It has never been done before.
It's been done a couple of times, actually.
It has never been done before.
Jack Kennedy lowered tax rates, increased growth.
Now you're Jack Kennedy.
Hey, I didn't know Jack Kennedy, and neither of those guys is Jack Kennedy, but they did really engage here on foreign policy.
And we should not be imposing these devastating defense cuts, because what that does, when we equivocate on our values, when we show that we're cutting our own defense, it makes us more weak. It projects weakness, and when we look weak, our adversaries are much more willing to test us, they're more brazen in their attacks, and our allies are less willing to
trust us. With all due respect, that's a bunch of malarkey.
And why is that so?
Because not a single thing he said is accurate.
There was a lot of elaboration on malarkey and further accusations of, shall we say, inaccuracies. Here's the vice president defending the administration on the economy.
We knew we had to act for the middle class. We immediately went out and rescued General Motors. We went ahead and made sure that we cut taxes for the middle class. And in addition to that, when that occurred, what did Romney do? Romney said, no, let Detroit go bankrupt. We moved in and helped people refinance their homes. Governor Romney said, no, let foreclosures hit the bottom. But it shouldn't be surprising for a guy who says 47% of the American people are unwilling to take responsibility for their own lives.
And here's Paul Ryan defending Mitt Romney.
This is a man who gave 30% of his income to charity, more than the two of us combined. Mitt Romney's a good man. He cares about 100% of Americans in this country. And with respect to that quote, I think the vice president very well knows that sometimes the words don't come out of your mouth the right way.
But I always say what I mean. And so does Romney.
We want everybody to succeed.
That debate took place before an audience in Center College in Kentucky, a live audience. And here's a sample from the audience of American voters out there.
This is Horacio Soberón Ferrer, independent voter from Miami, Florida. I think that it was Back to the Future. You had a 1950s bully against a 1980s nerd. I think that the bully won, the vice president won. However, it hasn't changed my mind. I don't vote for vice president. I'll vote for president. I'm still somewhat undecided, but still leaning Republican.
One of the great independent voter voices from our best political team in the galaxy, I think. Here's another one. One of our voters from Lake County, Ohio, got a lot of sparring last night when she watched, but not what she was looking for.
Hi, this is Veronica Dahlberg, one of the Lake County voters, and I was disappointed, I guess, because I didn't get that sense of reassurance that I was looking for. I think just as a mom, as a woman looking for some sort of reassurance for our future, I didn't really get that.
Hey, John, it's Marissa Cornaccio calling from Lake County, Ohio, one of your Ohio 7. I really didn't think there was a clear winner tonight. I thought both Ryan and Biden performed equally well. There were some things I would have liked to have heard from Paul Ryan. I wanted to know more about his budget, the specific details, and how he's going to lower taxes and balance the budget. But my vote still stays in the Romney-Ryan camp.
Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent, was also in the audience at large. Todd?
Hi, John. Good morning.
So, what do you assess this debate? Certainly, they got into sparring. It was a lot more lively than the debate between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. Vice presidential debates, hard to gauge their significance in any way. How do you think either one of these candidates did?
Well, that's true. It's hard to gauge their significance. Democrats, especially in the base, have to be happy with what they saw from Vice President Joe Biden because he was aggressive. He was fact-checking. He might have seemed a little bit, I'm going to use an adjective, a little bit condescending at times, except you have to digest this debate in context of the last debate, where Democrats were extremely disappointed, fraught with angst over what they saw as a listless performance from President Obama. Now, in the broader case of the race, what does this really say to us? I like the statement from our first independent voter from down in Florida. Maybe Joe Biden won this debate. I think you would have partisan opinions on who won. But does it make a difference in turning any votes in the end? The ultimate result of this debate was probably close, but he's right. Nobody votes for vice president. They vote for president. So this may have had a good effect on the base. Joe Biden got a lot of punches and points in there, fact-checking the buzzwords that Democrats wanted to hear. 47%, we're protecting the middle class, you want to tax them. Paul Ryan got a lot of points in as well, hitting the administration on national security, areas that conservatives are very concerned about, hitting them on entitlements and growing costs and on debt and on the stimulus. Both sides probably saw some punch and counterpunch points that they were happy with. In the end, does it move a poll? We'll see. I doubt it.
What about Paul Ryan? I mean, in many ways, certainly he was prominently featured at the convention, and he's well known among conservatives. But for probably a sizable number of likely voters, this was really a big rollout for Paul Ryan. How do you think he did?
I think in many ways that's probably true. And his performance was solid. And if it's true, John, what you're saying, that this was a rollout for many voters of Paul Ryan, who many Americans haven't met before, then you could probably say he met the test of that rollout. He was competent, not incompetent. He was well-spoken, not fumbling. You know, whether or not he won or lost in this context isn't really the point. Did he show competence and a maturity that makes people comfortable with the candidate? From my watch of the debate, I didn't see any moments that made me go, oh, that's a bad rollout for Paul Ryan. It was a competent performance, certainly no lost ground in that regard. There was a lot of smiling and eye rolling and interrupting from Joe Biden. But when you look at a lot of the comments sort of the morning after in the Friday morning, the Friday quarterbacking of that event, conservatives hate it. Joe Biden was condescending and interrupting. Paul Ryan was serious and presidential. Look on the other side. Joe Biden finally took the other side to task for their untruths. He finally applied the 47% trope and made it clear that Romney and Ryan don't want to protect the middle class. He fact-checked the other side. That's why the reviews of this debate are likely to be partisan in their nature, and all of those folks in the middle, to the extent they still exist, might be left with more decisions to make, I think, in two more presidential debates and in which to make those decisions.
I sort of agree with one of our voters. You don't vote for vice president, which you've said, which we've learned, you know, again and again during these presidential campaign cycles. And I think this was a wash. But it was an engagement on foreign policy. And we haven't had that from the major candidates. Romney and Obama are expected to go on foreign policy in their last debate, I believe. But here the talk was all about the security at that embassy in Libya. There have been congressional hearings that have opened on the question of whether there was enough security at that hearing. It was Martha Raddatz's first question. Here's a portion of the debate that dealt with that.
When you take a look at what has happened just in the last few weeks, they sent the UN ambassador out to say that this was because of a protest and a YouTube video. It took the president 2 weeks to acknowledge that this was a terrorist attack. He went to the UN, and in his speech at the UN, he said 6 times he talked about the YouTube video. Look, if we are hit by terrorists, we're going to call it for what it is, a terrorist attack.
And Martha Raddatz went right at Joe Biden on this issue. Listen.
When people in the consulate first saw armed men attacking with guns, there were no protesters.
Because
why did
exactly
that go on for
what
weeks?
We were told by the intelligence community. The intelligence community told us that. As they learned more facts about exactly what happened, they changed their assessment. That's why there's also an investigation headed by Tom Pickering, a leading diplomat from the Reagan years, who is doing an investigation as to whether or not there are any lapses, what the lapses were, so that they will never happen again.
And they wanted more security there.
Well, we weren't told they wanted more security again. We did not know they wanted more security again.
So, Todd, how do you think this issue plays? It doesn't have the profile of a 9/11 and of some other foreign policy issues, but there's a serious debate going on. What do you think?
there is a serious debate going on, and right in the middle of an election, which automatically gives it a partisan flavor. It was interesting that the Libya questions came right out of the gate, and the candidates had to have been prepared for that because the moderator, Martha Raddatz of ABC, is an experienced, well-known national security reporter. They knew this was coming. What's interesting is that the aftermath of this case in the political arena has followed a lot of the sort of campaign themes about national security. Paul Ryan, as you heard there, used it to basically cast President Obama's administration as feckless and weak on national security. In some other areas, that's a difficult case to make. But in the Libya case, if the public's really paying attention to this, it is shaping up to be a little bit of a problem for the Obama campaign, and here's why. The after-action assessments of the attacks in Cairo, and of course the more important one in Libya, what Joe Biden was saying there is true, that it was a moving target. The administration wasn't saying whether it was a protest or a terrorist attack right away, because it's true that they didn't know. And it's also true that the intelligence assessments of what those attacks were a moving target in the days afterward. Here's where Joe Biden needs to be fact-checked. He said that they did not know that the embassy wanted more security. I don't know what they knew at the White House, but several State Department officials have testified indeed that there were requests for more security at Benghazi before the attack. Those requests did come in and were denied. They have also testified, and security experts, however, have also testified in congressional hearings, that extra security in this case would not have made a difference. The security that realistically would have been sent would have made no difference in the nature of this attack. So Joe Biden needs to be fact-checked there. We also need to know that had they responded and added that security, the result likely, according to testimony, would have been the same.
There's a lot of policy noise here. You also have the issue of Republicans voting against authorizations for increased security generally for embassies and consulates around the world. Joe Biden made that point again and again. We'll just have to see how this plays. It was also, the debate last night was a rollout of the campaign's approach to the unemployment number, which seems to be going down. But here's a little bit of a chess that Ryan and Biden played with each other. It seems like Biden came out on top on this one. They were talking about unemployment, but Ryan sort of tried to do something clever here. Listen.
Joe and I are from similar towns. He's from Scranton, Pennsylvania. I'm from Janesville, Wisconsin. You know what the unemployment rate in Scranton is today?
I sure do.
It's 10%.
Yeah.
You know what it was the day you guys came in? 8.5%.
Yeah.
That's how it's going all around America. Look,
you don't read the statistic. Look, that's not how it's going. It's going
down.
This
is his two-minute answer,
look,
please.
Did they come in and inherit a tough situation? Absolutely. But we're going in the wrong direction. Look at where we are. The economy is barely limping along. It's growing at 1.3%.
We don't have time for a two-minute answer, Todd. Take us out here.
Well, the economy is really where this election is going to hinge. And if you want to go back on YouTube and watch that exchange, it is entertaining and enlightening how those two clashed. Next Tuesday, Mitt Romney and President Obama go again, town hall format, John.
We'll see you there. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks so much.
You bet.
This is how we've been tracking the campaign, and you've been a part of it. There's a whole committee of independent voters around the country. You know how to be a part of it. You can call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can weigh in on this conversation or anything else you hear. You can also go to thetakeaway.org and hear what the Ohio 7 have to say. You can hear what those voters have to say. Also, our independent voters from Florida, from Minnesota, from other places around the country, and you can sign up to be one of them. All you have to do is go to thetakeaway.org. Or just reach out to us directly, 877-8-MY-TAKE. You're a voter, aren't you?